Hello, welcome to episode 6 of All Songs Are Love Songs. Buckle in for some of our fiercest arguments yet. Join us in the gallery of Judge Erica's courtroom as I try to convince her and you that all songs ever written qualify as love songs. In each episode, guests choose songs as evidence to prove me wrong. In this episode, Jamie D makes her first appearance.
It was a simpler version to teach semantics. This was back in ancient Egypt.
And returning champion Jake Budge.
It's a common song pattern, so they haven't even bothered to put any effort in writing it.
Let's head into the courtroom.
All songs, love songs, the love songs.
Okay, well, time for another challenge back in the courtroom with Judge Erica presiding.
Good afternoon, defendant, prosecutor, gallery, people, everyone. If there's any small dogs, assistance, animals, welcome as well. I today am welcoming Rowan as the defense.
Hello.
And hello. Prosecution, we have Jake Budge returning. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Your Honor.
How are you feeling? Sir Jake Budge of the prosecution, how are you feeling?
I am feeling a little nervous, but I believe the prosecution, that's the wrong word.
That's a different debate.
You're the prosecution. Yeah.
I believe the prosecution has studied hard on this case, and we are confident that our clients will get the result they so rightly deserve.
Now, but can you, you know, I know that our gallery has met you before in prior arguments. However, what do you feel brings you to the courtroom today? What expertise are you bringing to the court?
Well, I'm a huge fan of music. I've been to many live gigs. I've suffered through more than 100 of Rowan's gigs. So I bring lots of expertise on songs, and I also am a performer. I performed comedy. Unlike Rowan, none of my audience has ever had a heart attack during said performance. So I think I have the expertise to take on the defense in today's court session. Thanks, Your Honor.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten about that.
I think that sounds like a story for the end of the episode. Jake, as the prosecution, you have brought a song here today for the debate. Please, could you tell us the name of that song?
Thank you, Your Honor. The song is The Wheels on the Bus, most famously a folk song written by Verner Hills in 1898.
Thank you for producing that song as evidence. The court would like to hear the argument from the defense to begin, please. Rowan.
All right. So the defense saying that The Wheels on the Bus is indeed a love song, which of course it is. You're right. It's an American folk song written by Verner Hills, published in 1939. You said 1898. That's the year she was born. It's an American folk song. Verner Hills, it was published in 1939. But since we're talking the history of the song, internal combustion engines were created in the late 1700s, made commercially viable in the later 1800s, quite a little bit later, enabling the development of transport that would bring the world together and unite nations. While horse-drawn buses have been used since the 1820s, the first motorized bus using the internal combustion engine ran in 1895 in Germany. The 1900s saw a massive expansion of use of buses all around the world, becoming iconic, particularly in the double-decker buses of London and the yellow school buses of North America, which have been yellow since 1939. A yellow colour officially known in Canada and the US as National School Bus Glossy Yellow. So there we go. Let's talk about the song. Erica, you must know this song.
Yes, yes indeed. And for the record, please, the court feels as though, Rowan, you are trying to dazzle us with numbers and dates.
Oh, is that an objection from the judge?
Nope, that's just a statement for the official record. Please continue.
I feel like I feel like I'm being cautioned. Okay, back to the song. So, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round all day long. There are several verses. So this is for anyone that doesn't know the song. So it's not just the wheels on the bus. The wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish. The driver on the bus goes move on back. People on the bus go up and down. Horn on the bus goes beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, baby on the bus goes...
wah, wah, wah.
Parents on the bus go shh, shh, shh. All right, so this song, it's repetitive and cyclical for ease of memory and learning for children. So it's deliberately inclusive and kind song. It hasn't been treated kindly. I know a lot of people have had lots of things to say about it. Ken Fishkin in 2016 called it a searing, despairing portrayal of capitalism with themes of iron wheels of capitalism unheeding and uncaring, exploiting generation after generation, wipers shunting aside the tears of the downtrodden, erasing them from history as the haute bourgeois consigns the proletariat to their subservient passive roles. Hans Heyerdahl in 2015 called the bus a metaphor for life itself, a vehicle carrying us from birth to death, the wheels representing the never-ending karmic circle of life as we're born and reborn. I reject both of those assessments of this song. I say this song is a humble portrait of modern life, with a cast of characters lovingly portrayed, made immortal by children's voices on long journeys. We have the driver on his route, taking care of his passengers. We have the baby, new life and innocence in the world. We have the mothers, caring for their babies. Shush, 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 they say. We have the bus itself, the wheels going round and round, keeping these people safe, keeping them moving towards their destinies, towards their destinations. As the wheels go round and round, they're warm inside the bus because, as we know, it's raining outside. The wipers going swish, swish, swish. This is a love song to humanity. The great vehicle that brings us together while carrying us home to our loved ones. Very definitely a love song. I rest my case until my rebuttal.
Of course. Thank you, Rowan, very much for that argument. I have many thoughts, but I will hold them until we hear from Jake Budge. Jake Budge, please tell us why The Wheels on the Bus is not a love song.
Thank you, Your Honor, and I'm not going to try to dazzle you with numbers and fancy comments. I'm going to keep my argument simple, and I'm not going to sound like I read Google for like 6 hours. Unlike the defense, I'm not going to waste the judge's time with crazy numbers. So, I would like to start my argument with the Oxford Dictionary defines a large motor vehicle having a long body equipped with seats or benches for passengers, usually operating as part of a scheduled service. So that's what a bus is. It's a vehicle. This song, yes, was designed to read to entertain children and so children could learn, which you don't have to have love to teach kids, as if you interview many teachers, they will say they despise kids and they just do it for the money. It's a very money-driven career. So I'd like to say that. And some people may, I'm amazed the defense didn't try to bring up such scary things as the Pixar movies, because movies like Pixar and Disney have tried to bring extra love and joy to buses. But this isn't the Magic School Bus. This isn't a bus from Cars. This isn't a happy bus. This is a song about a motor vehicle and people on it. Yes, people could maybe be in love and travel on a bus, but in this case, there's no romance in this song. They don't mention love. This isn't a song about love. It's a song that's based upon many different songs. It's a common way to write songs such as The Mulberry Bush or This Is The Way. It's a common song pattern, so they haven't even bothered to put any effort in writing it. So that shows how much the lack of love is in this song. I like to say also the song The Mulberry Bush and This Is The Way don't have any love in their lyrics in case the defense dare try to bring that up in his rebuttal. And what, defense, were you going to butt in then? I heard like a breath on the line.
I was wondering why you thought that I would use, why you thought I would use my 30 seconds of rebuttal to talk about an entirely different song.
Well, you might, because that because you spent, the defense spent so long on Google. But this song is not about love.
Defense, settle down, please.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm sorry. I will keep it down. I've sat down again. I'm no longer yelling from standing position. So
the prosecution, you're all right.
The wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish. The wipers on the bus go swish, swish, swish all around town. No love in that. It's just saying, it's a learning song. It's saying what wipers do. They wipe around, weigh water, and make a swish sound. The driver on the bus goes move on back. He's telling people what to do. Once again, not a thing of love. When the defense was bringing up the point that a bus takes you to your destination, that's all fantasy. That's not in the lyrics. My argument's based on that the defense are doing their romanciation of what they think love is and trying to put love in everything. But this is a simple song about a bus to teach kids, and it's just a fun song about a motor vehicle, not a love song. I rest my case.
All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs. All
thank you, Chase Budge, for the prosecution. Rowan, as the defense, would you care to use 30 seconds of rebuttal time?
Absolutely. I object to Jake thinking that a simple song cannot be a love song. A love is a very simple thing. When you've got kids and are having a repetitive song that's for bringing them together, uniting them, singing a song about life, that's about love. History is not just crazy numbers. It teaches us about love as well. And songs about vehicles doesn't mean it's not a love song. Off the top of my head, Drive My Car, Midnight Train Going Anywhere, Leaving on a Jet Plane, songs about a vehicle, but actually these are all love songs as well. The Wheels on the Bus, also, it's a love song.
Beep, beep, beep. Gentlemen, this is an interesting one. I've taken a lot of notes. I have some thoughts that I don't require answers to. I will merely state my thoughts for you to think about quietly. Rowan, you did. You mentioned that this could be a love song because of the rain and the swishing of the... There was a rain and it's protecting the children because the wipers are going swish, swish. I would ask the defense for the proof that there is rain because the wipers are going. How do you not know there's a dead bird? How do you not know that they are cleaning the windows? Perhaps the bus driver is functionally cleaning his windows. Just because the wipers are swishing does not mean there is rain to be protected from. I believe, Jake, you have brought up very valid points. This is an educational song about motor vehicles, and it is a very functional song. Therefore, in absence of much defense other than many numbers and citing of other songs and Googling facts, Jake Budge, the ruling goes to you. This is not a love song.
What?
Wheels on the Bus is a functional, educational ballad.
Your Honor, I object to the ruling. Can I do that?
I mean, you can, but you'll be held in contempt of court.
Oh, contempt of court.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. I was trying to thank you sooner, but the defense rudely interrupted with her objection because the defense is a sore loser.
Well, I can't win all of them, but don't worry, I'm still fighting. And what's coming up next could be the most controversial and ferocious debate we've had so far. Let's see if you agree, though regarding who wins the debate, that's still in the hands of Judge Erica. Okay, it is time for another challenge. Back to the courtroom with Judge Erica presiding.
Why, thank you, Rowan. We are, as you mentioned, here again. Welcome to the gallery. Welcome, defense. Introducing the prosecution today, we have Miss Jamie D. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm really excited to beat Rowan today. I was about to ask how you're feeling, but that sounds like it sums it right up.
Can you very confident. Amazing. Can you please tell the gallery what expertise you're bringing to the courtroom today?
Well, first of all, I've been an entertainer since an early age. I've been on stage working in musical theater. I've educated other people in theater and in music. I played the piano for 1 year. I played clarinet and I played the oboe because I wanted to sit in the front row in my band class. I'm also a mother. I'm a travel agent. I worked on a cruise ship for 11 years and I'm the director of entertainment for a Margaritaville resort in Lake Conroe, Texas.
Wow, Jamie, that is quite the extensive entertainment history. I am looking forward to your argument today. Can you please tell us what song you are presenting as evidence?
Yes, I really did a lot of research and I wanted to find a song that I was confident and I had a really good knowledge of the background. So we went with the alphabet for today's challenge.
The alphabet.
H I J K L M N O P.
Perfect. I hope our listeners are also familiar with the alphabet.
I believe the gallery is aware.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm so excited for this one.
Jamie, as the prosecution, I will invite you to please tell us now why the alphabet is not a love song.
Well, I have many reasons why the alphabet is not a love song. So let's talk a little bit about the ABCs, also known as the alphabet. It was a script developed in ancient Egypt to represent a language of speaking workers and slaves. There's nothing romantic about slavery. The hieroglyphic system that they used to use required a lot of pictograms, and a small number of those pictograms were selected, and it was a simpler version to teach semantics. This was back in ancient Egypt. That's according to the very credible source of Wikipedia. I've also looked into lexico.com, which that's thanks to a Google search. It gave the definition of the alphabet as a noun. It's a poem said to music, and it's a song used for teaching children the alphabet in which the letters are sung in order to have a simple tune. It is a mnemonic device. Since we're talking about love songs, there are no lyrics that indicate love. There are no feelings of admiration nor hatred in this song. It is simply a tool that is used to teach people language. Now, I do want to quote the original challenge, the original task that was asked for me on October 1st, 2020, at 11:10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Rowan messaged me in a very formal document, a Facebook message, and he said, Jamie, would you be up to challenge me on my upcoming podcast, All Songs Are Love Songs? Guests choose a song to argue it's not a love song, and I argue that it is. Erica is the judge. So just referring to that original request, we're discussing the song. We're not talking about the origin. We're not talking about poetry behind it. We're talking about the song, the alphabet. So nothing to do with anything besides the letters A to Z or A to Z, if we're in America, depending on where you're listening from. Others may try to give you references from the history of the alphabet. So I just want to refute those discussions before they even start. According to dictionary.com, the alphabet was published by an American publisher, Charles Bradley, and it was put to useful lyrics with a catchy tune. And he wrote the song in 1835. Nothing about the history, poetry, nothing like that. However, Fatherly.com gives credit to an Austrian composer, Mozart, only because that is the same tune that is used for other songs, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, or Ba Ba Black Sheep, which is now known as Ba 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 Sheep because we're not allowed to say Ba Ba Black Sheep. Just so you know, I have a 1.5-year-old, so I learned that. So speaking of Mozart, let's learn a little bit about him. He was married and divorced. Mozart was married to Miss Constanzi. I don't know her name. Mozart. And they got divorced. In fact, Constanzi divorced him and ended up marrying Mozart's biographer. So he cheated on her. He slept with one of his colleagues. That's socially unacceptable. Nothing to do with love, more to do with hatred. There's also mentions of a French nursery rhyme, which I'm sure Erica can pronounce a lot better than I can. A vous de la maman. Was that good, Erica?
That's perfect.
That's what I thought. That French nursery rhyme, let me tell you a little bit about that. I'm just checking my notes here. The original lyrics are disputed. So no matter what Rowan may say, the lyrics mean it's about French kids wrestling, stealing cookies from a cookie jar. So it was not about love. There's lots of discussion about what the lyrics of that French song that Mozart wrote that may have traces to the tune. But I go back to my argument that we're not talking about origin. We're talking about the song itself, the alphabet, which has no meaning. It's a mnemonic device. It is clearly not a love song. Thank you. That I rest my case. Bravo. Thank you. I got an applause. From the judge.
Yes, that's all right. A good thing.
Settle down in the gallery. Everyone sustained.
I'm sure everyone's on their feet right now.
Thank you, Jamie, the prosecution for an excellently researched and delivered argument. Rowan, would you care to respond? Why is the alphabet a love song?
Well, may I first just congratulate you, Jamie, on the partial research that you did. I was also applauding along with Erica there in admiration for the way you presented your inconsistent rant and your incomplete research. my favorite
objection.
Part,
so,
my favorite part was where you, all right, let's move on. My favorite bit was when you insisted that the origins of the song were irrelevant after telling us that about how script came from ancient Egypt. you're absolutely right. There's lots of background behind the alphabet itself, and there's lots of background behind the tune, but I think it's frivolous to say that these are not relevant, because of course they are. Let's talk about the song. It's first published in its current form in 1835, you're right, with the title The ABC, a German air with variations for the flute with an easy accompaniment for the pianoforte. That was its original title. The musical arrangement set to the alphabet is attributed to a composer, Louis Lemaire. You're right, it's the same tune used for Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star and Ba, Ba, Black Sheep. It's a tune everyone knows because it's often sung by most English language educated children together. They sing it all in a room together as part of their education, part of learning about language. Language is vital. When we're talking about love, love is a feeling of warm personal attachment, deep affection, which can be better understood and expressed with a nuanced understanding of language. What song better aids our ability to speak about love and read about love and express our devotion than a song about the fundamentals of written communication, essential for any romantic novel, poem, or love letter? Now, you're absolutely right to bring up Mozart, because I was going to do that. You've anticipated a little of where I was going to go here. So, Erica, if I were to play you this tune, which was published in 1781 by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart as 12 variations on Ah, vous direz-je maman?
That's what I said.
That's what you said, yes. you would recognize it. It would be a piano piece that goes da 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 da, which we know as the alphabet song, or Ba Ba Black Sheep, or Ba 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 Sheep, or Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. All right, so that's the tune that's been used. Now, you're absolutely right that this comes from a French nursery rhyme. The French nursery rhyme, excuse me for just a second.
Are your exhibits not ready, defense?
No, they are ready. The tune comes from a French nursery rhyme from the 1760s called Ah, vous direz-je maman, which is indeed, it's a children's tune about a love of sweets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the cookie jar, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. the French nursery rhyme is adapted from an anonymous French love letter from 1740 called La Confidence Naïve. Now, this is where Jamie's research was incomplete. She went back as far as the nursery rhyme, but the nursery rhyme was adapted from a love letter into a song about cookies and sweets. But this French love letter from 1740, from which that nursery rhyme was derived, called La Confidence Naive, which we may guess or know is the naive confidence. Let me just read you a tiny bit. I'll just read you. It's quite long, so I won't read the whole thing. But, shall I tell you, Mama, what causes my torment? Since I saw Sylvain looking at me tenderly, my heart says every moment, can one live without loving? It carries on like this for quite some time. It's absolutely the most beautiful and typical love letter. So, in conclusion, a love letter becomes a nursery rhyme, becomes a dainty classical tune, adapted into an educational rhyme used to teach children to more effectively express their emotions, feelings, and love. In fact, Jamie, as a mother, you are going to lovingly teach this to your own daughter so she can express her emotions and her feelings and her love. Never, never was a song more soaked in love than the alphabet song ABC. I rest my case. All songs are love songs. All songs are love songs.
All songs are love songs. Thank you, Rowan, for that stirring argument. Jamie,
yes,
as the prosecution, you are now entitled to 30 seconds of rebuttal. Would you care to use those now?
I would love to use those now, Erica.
Please begin.
Asking. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking about the song, the alphabet. If your boyfriend, husband, fiance, anybody said to you LMNOPQRS, is that romantic? No, it is not. It is gibberish. It means nothing. If we go back 500 years, okay, 360, anyway, then that poem that became a cookie, that became a hieroglyphic, like that might be romantic, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about LMNOPQRS, which is not a method of communication. It's a tool to get to communicate. Thank you.
Beep, 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 beep. Rebuttal time used.
Okay.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, defense, prosecution, there's been a lot of words said here today. Many of them make sense. Many of them do not. This court would like to acknowledge that many tangents were used. We're uncertain how we feel about them. Mozart, it's a hole. We're going down it. It's very deep. The defense, Rowan, I feel as we were going into like 6 degrees of separation from the song, which, as the prosecution,
you,
Jamie mentioned,
it's a straight line.
That
it's a curved line.
Are here to discuss whether the alphabet song is in fact a love song, not necessarily the history from which Mozart derived it. The court would also like to recognize the use of hieroglyphics in both arguments, as well as the use of Jamie's use of the court's very favorite witness, Uncle Google, as well as her
objection. Objection, Your Honor.
It's
I was mocked for Googling. Two episodes ago.
On behalf of the Commonwealth of the Queen, the court would also like to thank Jamie for her use of Z as well as Z. We
thank
appreciate
you.
Your acknowledgement of. And in conclusion, this court must also recognize Kourtney Kardashian's iconic use of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, to which Scott Disick replied, what does that even mean?
Exactly!
Therefore, in conclusion, this court sides with the prosecution. This is not a love song. This is a mnemonic device.
Thank you.
Jamie,
no!
Thank you. You win.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
What?
Is this where I do my acceptance speech?
Yeah. Have you written one?
Of course. I mean, could you see that research? Thank you so much for having me on the show. Rowan, I'm so sorry that I made you look like an idiot on your own podcast. Erica, I've always known you to be intelligent, beautiful, talented, and this just confirms my belief that you are so educated and so wise, more wise than your partner. He's so lucky to have you. I've told him that since I met him in 2016 on the Carnival Paradise. I also want to express to Rowan, QRSTUVWXYZ.
Yes, well, I will ABC you later. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening more than I enjoyed losing both of these challenges. A big thank you to Judge Erica and to both of our guests today. If you'd like to hear more from Jake Budge, you can just search Jake Budge on Facebook to find Jamie D's page. Look for Jamie D, that's spelled J-A-I-M-E-D-E-E. See you next episode.
All songs, all songs, all songs, the love songs.
That was a really good one.